Gotta find my unmute button. Okay. I am just, how do I, who's got the meeting? How can I?
Baron does.
That would request. Be me. Sharing should be open, so you should be able to go ahead and do that.
So let me.
Typically, it's going to be on the.
There we go.
Of your screen.
And that should. I'm just trying to move all these things on my screen. Sharing has failed to start. So. I don't quite know why. If I do that.
There we go.
There you go.
But now I've got to. Is that working?
Yep.
That looks beautiful. We're now full scale, full screen. I've lost the chat window. So maybe if somebody is going to make a chat comment, you can tip me off.
You can actually move your mouse and bring it up as a floating window now, but I will let you know if anything comes up.
Well, yeah, I just. I've got PowerPoint in full screen, and I'm sharing on screen two and not screen one, and I'm just a little bit screen challenged here. So,
Darren, this is Ralph.
Yes.
May I suggest that someone be a co-host and manage the chat pod for Doug, so that he can focus. So he can focus on his presentation, and then you can insert comments as appropriate. Just an observation. It's nice to have a co-host to manage security issues and also to manage the chat pod.
Joe and I are taking care of that, but thanks for the suggestion.
Okay. Darren, you can be the HAL 9000. And
sorry, I can't do that.
So, but that's what you say to DDZ. I'm sorry, I can't do that, Dave. So, well, good morning. I think it's still morning. And welcome to Digital Mobile Radio for the Challenged. And yes, don't complain to me about the title. Joe picked the name. Glad we're all here. I really miss having our regular meetings. I guess we still have a little bit of video up, but I want to know where the host is to bring me some fresh coffee. That's the one thing I'm missing. So we're going to talk a little bit. There you go, NCARC cup. I just have a Starbucks venti. We're going to talk a little bit about DMR. Don't be offended by the "Are you challenged?" because we're all challenged. I'm challenged on DMR. If I don't learn something new every day with it, I'm not using the protocol. It is a complicated protocol. A friend of mine, W0KU, is very fond of saying, "It's too complicated. It's not gonna work." And he's right. And often, very complicated things are. Sometimes we have trouble making them work. I don't think DMR is too complicated, but and so we're going to go into about the theory of everything. So to understand, and by the way, if you have any questions, break in with the audio or send it in the chat, but just feel free to speak up. I threw some slides together. I only have, I think, 250 slides, so we'll be quickly through these. And we'll take requests and bridge around. All you have to do is understand the equations and you'll know what DMR is. So what are we talking about today? This is a kind of a buzzword, a fad, some people will say. DMR is a digital radio protocol. It started with Motorola. It has since moved on to other manufacturers. The hams have adopted this protocol on 2 meters and 440 mostly, because that's where equipment is available. There are multiple tiers. We're going to be talking about the tier 2 products today, or the offering. With this, DMR is a commercial protocol. But so is DSTAR. Well, that's not a commercial protocol, but NXDN. These are all in this black box, things that aren't DMR. These are all digital radio protocols. We're going to be talking about just one. And as I put in the bottom here, don't think that the things that I put in the box, that things that aren't DMR are bad. They're not. They're good. They're just not what we are talking about today. Right now, we have a number of digital protocols. There's people on this call I know that have DSTAR. There's people that have System Fusion, or as sometimes I refer to it as System Confusion, because it can be a little confusing sometimes. I don't know if anybody's running NXDN or P25. I guess there are some on P25. There's a 900 meg system on there. These are all great protocols, and as hams, we like to experiment, don't we? Let's play with this new protocol. But what we have done is there are more DMR systems in the area than any other protocol. We've somewhat, I don't want to use the word standardized, but it's a popular protocol. But this is not a war of the digital protocols. It's not that for DSTAR, you know, DSTAR has to lose for DMR to win. And we're starting to look into ways to bridge and interoperate between the protocols, but we're just not quite there yet. We're going to be today talking about, hopefully you've got some questions about DMR Tier 2, and which is a TDMA, Time Division Multiple Access Protocol, with interconnection between the repeaters, but it is not trunking, where we have multiple repeaters and we can handle, instead of two simultaneous conversations, 5 or 10 simultaneous using the trunking protocols. That's getting a little bit complicated. So
did we lose audio?
There we go. I'm assuming everybody can see these slides and the audio is okay. I unfortunately have a little button that can mute, and occasionally it gets accidentally pressed. Maybe I can
put you're
that
good
little pod down in my shirt here. There we go. So we've got digital voice, and this is just a favorite slide of mine that's an approximate slide. If we're talking, and I don't know that I need to get one of those on the screen laser pointers. I don't know if my laser point, you know, my arrow pointer projects over to you guys. Well, let me see if I can.
Yes, it does.
Okay, I can kind of see it on Dave's screen. It's kind of nice that he's feeding the presentation back so I can see what you're seeing.
As long as the mouse moves, we see your pointer, but when you stop, it appears.
So the green line here is typical analog FM, and the graphs are not quite this square. It was just, this was an easy way to draw it. But as we start out with analog voice, it's very good quality, and we all have grown accustomed to it. And then as noise starts to get in, as we get further from the repeater, it starts to degrade and degrade, and you get to a point that there's more noise than there is signal. And if you're running a, what's the politically correct way of saying it? An imported radio with less than desirable audio characteristics. Sometimes your voice is so low that the noise is just louder than your voice. With digital protocols, DMR, DSTAR, the others, they start out not quite as the same quality at strong signals, but they hold very well when the signal gets noisy until they just kind of, the knee falls off and it just gets really bad. And you'll hear people saying they you've gone digital or you've gone R2-D2 because you're getting more beeps and boops out of it, then you're getting real audio. So all of these protocols are digital, and I know some of the Aries nets that we've been experimenting with digital. And I think one of our net controls that was the last net is on here, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have a big enough window of all the people here, but it kind of takes a little getting used to digital audio, doesn't it? But once you get used to it, I don't want to go back to analog, to noisy analog. So we're talking about DMR and what's the really good thing. And here's a slide that says why it's good in a whole lot of words. But the bottom line is it is 4 times more efficient than analog FM. An analog FM signal, and and this is a very common question, or people don't understand really how big is my analog FM signal? How big is the parking space that I need to have my channel to put my analog FM car into it? And analog FM is basically, as I kind of joke with this, it's like trying to park a Chevy Suburban into a downtown parking space in either downtown Fort Collins or downtown Boulder. The vehicle is bigger than the parking space. So when we take on 2 meters, we have a channel every 15 kilohertz, don't we? Well, an analog FM signal is 16 kilohertz wide. You're hanging over into the next channel on either side with that. A DMR, a D-Star, all of these digital protocols are narrower. You can see the emission designators on the screen. They're narrower. And on top of this, DMR does 2 time slots or 2 conversations in 1. So let me give you the 1,000-word equivalent. Let's just go to a picture. Up on the top, the dark blue bar, we've got a wideband FM. That is a 5 kilohertz deviation. The emission mode that you studied on your test, if you've just been through the general exam, I think emission modes are on the general, if I'm not mistaken. I see Darren shaking his head. Well, thank you, Hal. And if you start singing Daisy, I'm signing off here. So that's a 16 K0 F3D, no, excuse me, F3E emission. There you go. He's got changed his backdrop. So 16 kilohertz, F for F3E means FM voice. DMR is 7K60, and they use a bunch of different letters, but typically it's FXD or FXE. So it's a 7.6 kilohertz wide signal as opposed to 16 occupied bandwidth. And much narrower. You can see down here there's D-Star, and there's also, it's just labeled on this chart D-Star, but that could be Kenwood's commercial protocol NXDN. And those are very narrow bandwidth. And then DMR is on the bottom. Here it's utilizing 7K60, 7.6 kilohertz of occupied bandwidth, which is within a 12.5 kilohertz channel. But I have 2 time slots. I'm first transmitting one, then the other. And so I've got a blue signal and an orange signal. And they're sharing the channel. And we'll get into that a little bit. Over on the right screen, so if we look at one conversation, the blue bar is what analog FM would be. The orange blocks is the amount of utilization a DMR signal is using. So it's a lot more efficient. And do we have a shortage of channels? Well, I don't know. On this call early on, we had a new member, I guess I wrote it down, I think his call sign is W8LYJ, that said, could you tell me what repeaters are active in Loveland and Longmont? When I look at the repeater book, there's hundreds of entries. But are they all active? Well, you know, we have a lot of repeaters, but we don't necessarily have a lot of activity. But that's something for a different time. We can put a lot of activity on a single DMR. So I think people are familiar with TDMA, but there's probably somebody on here that isn't. So I'll just briefly go over.
Question, Doug?
Yes.
Back to the orange blocks. Is that the equivalent of 3 conversations in that bandwidth?
No, that is three slots. I'll show you in the next picture here. Okay. So that's a great question. Here I've got the orange and blue boxes down on the bottom. So what is happening? You notice all the orange boxes are the first slot of the, and I had a different slide. So a frame which contains two slots is a red and a blue. It's 60 milliseconds long, is each frame of each packet, if you think of it in that way. And within that is orange conversation or data and blue conversation or data. I'm going to tell you, let's say up here, we are on, you and I are talking on the orange, and my, there we go, my screen is. We're talking on the orange time slot, you and I. We're going to transmit for 30 milliseconds, or I'm going to transmit for 30 milliseconds. You're going to hear it, and then I'm going to turn my transmitter off for 30 milliseconds to allow, I'm just picking two names. I can see Darren and Carrie on here. Darren and Carrie are going to be talking on the blue time. So they're going to turn their transmitter on, talk for 30 milliseconds, and then turn their transmitter off. Then we're going to go back on again for 30 milliseconds. Then they're going to go on for 30 milliseconds. We're going to be on the same RF channel, popping back and forth. And we're not going to know the other's there, because the repeater is doing all of the time synchronization. And I think I have that on another screen. But on the upper right here, we have some pictures. You know, right now what we have is essentially, now I used an example of two different frequency bands, because we rarely have two different repeaters on the same band, like two meter repeaters up at the same site. But we could put two meter repeaters up there. We combine them together in very complicated and expensive cavity filters to have two radios into one antenna system and a big duplexer to have two parallel talk paths. It's double the transmitters, double the power amps, double the antennas. It's a lot of stuff. With DMR, I can put up one repeater. It's alternating the two, much simpler. And at these sites, as we'll all recall, Horsetooth Mountain said, oh, you can put whatever you want up there for free, right? No, they said, you're limited to what you can put up here. You better make it count. So there may be a day that we just say, hey, we're ready to move to digital, and we can get double the money, double the bang for our buck. Does that make sense and answer the question? Okay. Let me take a brief, I'm almost a quarter of the way through here, and we're going to try to keep moving fast. But any questions or thoughts, or do you guys want me to be a little more? And the chat window went away. There it is. I found the chat window. Okay. Okay, Hal, you're not telling me about these questions.
Ari, it just came in.
Oh, okay. The appointed position will need to be voted on by the members. We're talking about the bylaws change, right? We want to talk about that some more. Oh, no.
No.
So Dennis, WB0BML asks, so my TYT DMR radio is programmed and has two channels for Horsetooth. Does that mean one is yellow and one is blue? Probably, but maybe not, depending on how you got it programmed. And I have a slide for that in about two slides. So if I don't specifically answer this, stop me in about 4 minutes, 4 to 5 minutes. So any other thoughts, questions? Are you guys still awake? I can see a few of you are still awake, but I don't have everybody's picture up because I've got the presentation up. Okay. So, I wonder if I can drag this. No, I can't. It's just not letting me put it over on my other screen so I can see all the people. One of the common things about DMR, and we said this is DMR for the challenged, and the biggest challenge is right here. A lot of people ask about identifiers. Yeah, you need one. Every radio has a number now. That can be good, that can be bad. You can put any number you want in there. You don't necessarily have to put one that we know, but you can put an identifier in there. And there is a website that you can go to, radioid.net. This website, you can sign up and get an identifier. It's free. They may only give you maybe two to three until you give them a reasonable justification for needing a whole bunch, because there's only so many in the world and we're trying to keep them kind of unique. Once you do get one, it will go and be published on the worldwide database so that I can, so if you go to that database and say, who is 3108058, it should come up with my call sign. And when I send that identifier out, you're going to potentially know you're me. It's me. The reason I say potentially is, you know, what if I don't want to keep picking on Darren? Tony decides, well, I'm going to put Doug's ID in my radio and everybody will think it's him. Yeah, you could do that. Is that bootlegging? No, because the FCC didn't issue me that radio identifier number. It's just an alias. It's like saying Doug, or my name is Nebuchadnezzar. You know, it's just a name. Can you use it as official FCC identification? People say, well, it shows up. Your call sign comes up in my radio as K2AD, so you must have sent it over the air. No, it's because you've put that number in your radio and said, when you get this number, put K2AD on the screen so we know who's talking to me. So it's not a legal ID at the FCC. If you were to use the text messaging feature or a digital version of APRS, you would not be sending your call sign every 10 minutes. If you want to do that, you have to embed your call sign in the body of the text, or like APRS does, they put their call sign in the APRS message. So if I want to be legal and I'm going to send a text message to Carrie, who's on my screen here, I would have to send in the body of the text, I would either have to identify in voice periodically every 10 minutes, or in the body of the text, I could just put K2AD colon, Carrie, are you listening to this particular talk group? And that would be legal because I would have identified, it's in plain text. No more identification is needed. The other thing a lot of people ask is, do I need a unique identifier for every radio I have? Well, it depends. Sometimes, but really not, but sometimes yes. If you're not going to be using the two radios at the exact same time, you can put the same identifier in. But if you're going to try to talk from one radio to the other radio because you might have one identifier and a radio for you and your wife is licensed and you have a radio, you give her a second radio, those two radios aren't going to talk to each other because the protocol expects a radio number and it doesn't expect you to be talking to yourself. So in that case, you're going to need two. But if you have a single band 2 meter and a single band UHF and you're not using them at the same time, you could put the same identifier in. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, I'm seeing a few head nods of the few screens that I have. One of the other things for the challenged is talk groups. This is a little bit different. So DMR uses talk groups. This is kind of a little bit similar to a CTCSS tone on a community repeater. And I don't think we've had one of those in the ham bands in the Weld Larimer area for quite a while, but there was at one point, they were, I won't say they were ever popular, but we saw a few of them in the 80s and 90s. These repeaters would listen to multiple CTCSS or PL tones. And whatever tone came in, people would listen for that tone, and it was kind of a way of muting the other people, but only one could be used at a time. And so instead of tones, analog tones, we use talk groups. These talk groups can be grouped by geographic regions. If you're on one of the worldwide networks, it can be by language, perhaps. There are some French-speaking and Swahili-speaking talk groups. It could be by content. There's like tech channels and there's club channels. These talk groups basically allow us to route that conversation to a repeater and then over potentially to another repeater and out somewhere else in the world potentially. So we're going to use talk groups, and we'll talk about those a little bit more. And this is where I'm kind of tying in Dennis, BML Dennis, the two channels on Horsetooth. And so the two channels on Horsetooth are actually using different talk groups on the two different time slots. So this is where I'm kind of going in to answer your question in a roundabout way. So we've got these talk groups. We're going to put them together. Rocky Mountain Ham and NCARC is two groups that have partnered together to, you know, we're kind of blurring the line between whose is what stuff. We're just all using it and all building this network together. We use our talk groups in a static form. We define a particular talk group. We'll talk about talk group 700, which is what we call our Rocky Mountain wide talk group. That's a bad one to talk about. Let's talk about 721. That's a talk group we created for Northern Colorado, and it's actually aligned with the Northeast All Hazards region, R3 of Aries, which is Weld, Larimer, Logan, Morgan, all the way down to Lincoln counties. It makes this big arc in the, if you look at the Aries webpage, you'll see the R3. That 721 talk group is kind of affiliated with that area. It's a static thing. We have it available on our repeaters all the time. If you're not using it for that, that resource goes unused. Some would say that's not very good utilization, but it was purpose built for Aries to know when I key my microphone on Northern 721, it's going to go out on all those repeaters. You can have dynamic talk groups, and that's what Brandmeister uses, and they're very useful also. It's a dynamic, it's an adaptive situation. So how do you get to those? Because the Rocky Mountain Ham and NCARC repeaters don't support that. You go over to another excellent group that's up in the Northern DMR group, or you go to the Denver Radio Club that has one on Brandmeister. Our two groups, RM Hammond and NCARC, has one on Lee Hill, but we didn't duplicate where there's other clubs, because you just go to one of theirs and they have some of these dynamic talk groups. Not everyone, but a lot of them. And they're good repeaters, and so we cover the area together. When we need to bring all this together and go really wide area beyond the one repeater, we go into what's called a C-bridge. And we'll talk briefly about that and kind of explain that to you. So what do you have to do to program your radio? This was for the challenged, and this is one of the challenges that I hear from a lot of people. And if we all had our microphones unmuted, I bet you if I said, has anybody on here had trouble programming their radio? I probably hear four or five people go, yep. With the isolation and work from homes and all these things, I have been, as DDZ said, on YouTube a little bit and watching, and they love this commercial for one of the new memory foam mattresses, and I get this thing of, you know, the spokesperson is Jan Janssen, and I feel a little bit like him. Has anybody had a problem sleeping at night? Has anybody had a problem programming their radio? And all the hands in the audience go up. I'll bet you a bunch of you have. On an analog FM radio, it's real simple. You put your frequency. If it's on a repeater, you tell it the offset. And you tell it the input and or optionally the repeater's output PL tone. Anybody can do it. And if you have a very limited radio without keypads, like how do you do that on this little thing here? This happens to be a Motorola, but there's no keys. So you got to use some computer software. You maybe use RT systems, third-party products. It's pretty easy. Well, DMR, still got to put in a frequency and an offset, but I got to add a color code, a time slot, a talk group, my radio ID. And then there's anywhere from about 3 to 36 parameters that are specific to that radio. Those of you that know Scott, can you hear W0KU saying, it's too complicated, it's not gonna work? Well, it's not too complicated. So what you do, go to the RM Ham website. I think we even have, Darren, do we have a link from our website for code plugs to this one? I don't know, but if we don't, we might want to. This is a site that we are putting our code plugs in. You would go up onto here and go into the DMR network, and then this will pull down and you can get more code plugs. When you do, yes.
At this time, we do not have one.
Okay.
But it's a good idea.
We should, because there is a small group that's a part of this code plug team that we are developing code plugs for the Kenwood commercial DMR radios. And Joe Hawley here has one. I have one. Mark Skelton somewhere on this call, I think. James. We're starting to create the code plug for our Kenwoods. And we may have some of the same brand in some of our EOCs, because I'm trying to find a good deal on some of these to put in the EOCs. And so we have a code plug team. Well, we've taken the time to say, well, we're going to update what's in our master code plugs and put an R3D2 zone in it, for example. And maybe we realized all of the NC-ARC repeaters are not in our standard code plugs when you get them off the shelf. Why would we not put all of the repeaters of a partner, sister club, in our standard code plugs? We're going to add them. So you can go to the website. You can look for your brand down here. And you can see what the date on it is and some notes on it. I would encourage you to do this when you get a new radio. If it's here, start with these, because there's a lot of stuff in here. The other reason is it gives you an interoperability mode, because there's some simplex analog channels. There's some digital analog channels. There are other things in here, and that when we go to a radio that you need to plug into a computer and we're out there at field day or at the Aries exercise and I suddenly need to talk to you, wouldn't it be nice if we had a common channel in there? But you're going to want some of your own stuff. So go ahead and customize that code, standard code plug, with your stuff. Just put it in at the beginning or put it in at the end. And I would encourage you to leave the other stuff in there unless you run out of channels in your radios. Most of these radios, you can put more channels than you could ever possibly want to do in your radio. So then when you go, and I think I have a few of these out of order. When you go into the website, if you are going to roll your own, if you are going to try to program your own, we have in here our known DMR repeaters. We don't have everyone in Colorado because it changes fast enough that we can't keep up with it. But if we do know of other systems for other groups, we can try to list them. But all of the repeaters that we operate in our network are in here with our easy name, the detailed name, who's running them, the repeater input output, the color code. I didn't really go to color code much. The status and whether they're linked up or not, or there's a failure in the backhaul link. And again, this is all on the webpage. This is just a small capture of it. I didn't talk about color code. Color code is simply a way of saying, it's funny, it's called a color code and then it's a number. But it's, I think it's 1 to 15 or 0 to 15. Most repeaters start with, you see, the DMR for the challenged. I'm challenged. I don't even know how many color codes there are. But we normally use color codes 6, 7, or 8 on our repeaters. The Northern DMR group, I think, often uses 2 or 3. It's not exclusive. New repeaters or individuals often use 1. On my commercial networks, I usually use a higher number, like a 15 or something. But it's just a way of that when the repeater is transmitting and your radio searches and finds a DMR signal, finds a repeater, it says, oh, what's your color code? I'm supposed to be listening for 7. And he goes, well, this is 3. This must be some other repeater. This isn't the one I'm supposed to be on. But if it finds a repeater on the frequency with that color code, it says, I bet you this is what I'm supposed to be listening to. So if you're going to program your stuff, you need all of this. But I said, don't forget about the Brandmeister repeaters. Well, the Brandmeister repeaters, you go to the Brandmeister network. And you can see it there, brandmeister.network. Zoom in on where you're trying to go to, and it'll tell you what the information for that repeater is. And you can also find out which dynamic talk groups they're using on those repeaters. You can see where they're connected. We can go into Brandmeister a little more after. But what I'm trying to get through is the basics. How do you know which talk group to use? Well, if it's our system that we've set up here, it's on the website here. The ones you're specifically gonna use a lot, oops, wrong button here, is this talk group 700, which is all of Colorado, parts of New Mexico, and parts of Wyoming. In our case, the Northern 721, and you'll notice here we've added a 722, which is a Fort Collins local. We've started adding more locals in here as we've been building out the network. So right now, and James, if you're unmuted, I think all we have on 722 is Fort Collins. Isn't that right, the CSU repeater?
Yeah, that's the only one so far.
Okay. We could certainly add to that if we need to, or if Aries says, yeah, I'd really like to have this and that on there. We can do that, but we don't want to make the changes too quickly because everybody's got to update their radios. So, you know, try to think about the request. It's kind of like a bylaws change. You got to propose it, motion it, let it sit. Let people talk about it and then take a vote later. And we can do that. You know, these talk group numbers can be anything from 1 digit to 6 digits. You're probably wondering, okay, you're noticing here, most of ours are in the 700s. We selected that because that was a talk group number that wasn't used at the time when we started our system anywhere else in the world. And so we've kind of squatted on those with the potential that there may be a connection from our system into the worldwide system someday, or we would gateway certain traffic, which now we're doing. But these numbers have to be unique because if we're using 700 and California's using 700 and we both put it into a national network, how are we going to know how to route these things? You know, we have the same IP address or the same telephone number. So right now we isolate these to our network. We chose 700 and that's why we chose that for the widest area. For our locals, we said, well, what can I use in the 700s? And I said, well, let me use for around Denver 720. Happened to be one of our area codes. I used for the Colorado Springs area, well, 719, that's also their area code. Well, what do I do for North? We didn't have 970 in our plan at the time, so we used 721, just the next number up. So that's kind of how you can remember it. And when we did the local, I said, well, let's use 722. So again, it's on the web page. So when you go to the web page, you can say on the 721 talk group, we have a little map showing the approximate coverage. And you can see on here this curved dog leg red line, that's I-70. And here's I-76 going up diagonally. So it's a lot of coverage. And once we add the repeater that we're trying to do up near Sterling or towards Julesburg, we will have all of Aries Region 3. Gizmo, do you agree with this? You look bored, Gizmo. Okay, there's Gizmo. So we'll have most of R3 Aries covered. So here are the repeaters. So if you're going to, you get a new radio that's brand new and there's not a code plug out there and you got to roll it yourself, you're going to look and say, well, I'm nearest to the Horsetooth Mountain repeater. So I'm going to set my radio to 446-750. I'm going to go to color code 7 in it. So that's the color code we're using up there. But you notice Fort Collins, CSU, right above it is color code 8. So there was another repeater, I think, on 446-7625, probably 200 miles away with the same color code. So we didn't want to confuse them. So we gave it a new one. You're going to use time slot number 2. And you're going to use talk group 721. That's what you have to put in your radio. Now, to Dennis's question, there's two channels. Horsetooth in the second time slot, or time slot number 1, carries the talk group 700, Rocky Mountain talk group. So you would put a second entry in your radio that says Horsetooth, Rocky Mountain. You would use talk group 700, time slot 1. And now you've got the two channels on Horsetooth. Does that require you to put the Akron repeater in your radio? No. Do you have to get into Akron to be able to talk to somebody there? No. You can go in on Horsetooth on 721, and it'll come out on Akron. And I don't know if this will, but you know, so I put them in mine. It says this happens to be Thoradin on Rocky Mountain. And in the next channel, I've got Thoradin on the Central and on my radio here. So not that hard to do, but there's a lot of click boxes. And Mark Skelton, who's on the call here, just to make sure that I'm not the only one talking, you can come off mute. You've put in a lot of work on the Kenwood code plug. Have you fat fingered anything and had a whole bunch of things wrong in there? Have you been challenged, Mark? Come on, I know you're there somewhere. Don't make me be the only one talking. Where are you? Are you still? I can't tell if he's fallen asleep or walked away. I'm scrolling through. Okay. He's not going to talk. He may have dropped off the call.
He went to Starbucks.
And he didn't get me one? Oh, the humanity. So, okay. So that's that talk group. And why is my thing? Okay.
Hey, Dave?
Doug, yes.
Yeah, this is Mark. I'm sorry. I cannot find a way to send a text or an IM, so I'm going to speak. But I have a question. Can you Perfect. Go back to that one slide?
Oh, which slide? I'm on...
The one you just... number 17?
17. Yes.
No, that wasn't it. The one that was showing the Northern Talk Group. There, that one.
Yes.
When I'm in Denver, which repeater do I want to select to talk up to Northern Colorado to, say, Eric up here in Loveland?
So you, what you would do is simply on either, there's two ways. The first, least complicated, is you put all of these in your radio, like I do, and when you go down to Denver, you're going to select the Boulder repeater. We're trying to give them kind of geographic names rather than site names, but the Boulder repeater is between Boulder and Golden. It's up on El Dorado Mountain, and it has very good coverage to the south. So you would select the Boulder repeater, and then when you use Talk Group 721, you will be heard on Akron, Boulder, Cheyenne, and three repeaters in Fort Collins right okay, now.
I was expecting to see a Denver area repeater. Thank you.
Well, the Boulder is a Denver area, but it's not quite as prominent as like Thoradin and Squaw. Now, if you're going to go, so that's the 721, the regional. What we did is we kind of said, what's the region for this? And we said it's Denver, Boulder, and points north. So we overlap Denver with enough coverage that you can get into 721 from down in Denver. But if all else fails, move your traffic over to the Rocky Wide on 700, and now you can go in on any one of, I don't know how many are, I even lose track, 24 repeaters, and you'll get back there. But just keep in mind, you're utilizing 24 some repeaters for a conversation from Denver to Fort Collins.
Got it.
So if you can get into the smaller coverage, great. And this is how we're doing it. Do you need to know about IP Site Connect? Not really. I only threw this in here because the repeaters that we use, and generally most of the clubs that are on Brandmeister, are using Motorola repeaters. There are some that are on Hytera and they have their own protocols and ways to link those in. But IP Site Connect is a way that we link our repeaters together. It is a Motorola protocol and a trade name, so it's only with those repeaters. But we have this thing called a C-Bridge, which is the bridging hardware in the middle box. And then we have these repeaters that have a master and a peer. And the northern network is actually an IP Site Connect to us. The central network is another IP Site Connect. The southern is another. And we're bringing all these together such that if we lose our bridge, the system will still operate and connect. It just won't go between regions anymore. So it's a fail soft kind of system. When we have a failure, it fails slowly. The C-Bridge, and you'll probably never have a need to look at one of these, and probably only about three of us on the call has ever looked at one of these. I don't know if Rick is still on the call. I saw his call sign up here earlier, but he has one of these for the Northern Colorado DMR group. We've got one at RM Ham. There's one of these up in Wyoming, and I think these are the only C-Bridges in our area, but there may be another, but I don't know about it. This is a way that we bring all these things together. This was actually a screen capture that I did as I was putting the final touches on this last night. This was me transmitting. If you're into microfiche, you can read. That was me transmitting on Talk Group 700 last night. I was coming in through the Thoradin repeater, and you can see the little green up here. That means that's the receiver that was receiving it, and everything in red is where the signal is going back out to. So I was in on Thoradin, and it was going out on Fort Morgan, El Dorado, Horsetooth, Akron, Buckhorn, Cheyenne, Squaw, Breckenridge, Leadville, Vale, Almagre, Methodist Mountain, Farmington, New Mexico, Pajarito, and Sandia, which is in Albuquerque. It's going out on all these repeaters. They're all in there. You'll see some that are yellow. Just ignore that. That means basically they're either offline or the thing was a little unhappy about it. But so you can ignore the yellow highlight. But this is the bridge, and that we're telling it how to put all this together. So,
a question on the chat.
Yeah. So Eric asks, if you understand correctly, you could create a small network using only IP Site Connect. Eric, you understand correctly. And that is the most simple, least complicated. if you have three repeaters and you always want them to act together in simultaneous calls, that's the most simple and most reliable way. If you have good connectivity between them, good IP, they'll just all work the same. They will be like the Radio City Music Hall Rockettes. They all kick together. Can you control what's on some of the time slots on one versus the other without the bridge? No, they all have to be identical, but it's a great way to get a simple network going. If you want to mix and match and engineer your networks for capacity and coverage, you're going to need an advanced tool like a C-Bridge or a Smart PTT or any of these external third-party solutions that cost anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000. Or if you get really fancy, Tier 3 and trunking, and that's typically $10,000 to $20,000 per site for the controllers. It's very expensive. That's the reason we haven't gone to it.
Thank you.
And let's see, when you're done, I'd like to get your slides to post. Okay. So one of the things that I thought would be, I think a bunch of people are kind of saying, what happens when I push the radio? So in the first example here, a user keys their radio and says, I want to make a call. Let me go to something that's a little more, a little less used, and I'll go to the North Talk Group. So I decide, okay, I want to say something. This is K2AD. You heard me, you should have seen, push the mic, you'll hear a little beep. I say something, and then I release. K2AD for a demo. K2AD clear. Release. When I push the button, my radio sent to the repeater. This is me. I want to use Talk Group 721. I'm on color code 7. I'm on time slot 2, I think it is. I want to make a call. The repeater figured out, is that valid or not? And when it said yes, it sneezed and it said, go ahead. That was the pop you heard. If I'm not able to get into it for some reason or it doesn't respond, okay, here's a good one. I'll switch to El Magre, Colorado Springs, which I'm not going to get into on a handheld. Says, nope. Yeah, that's a denied. You're not in range. So the repeater tells me, I go in PTT, the repeater starts responding. And I put here a little while later, you decide I'm done talking. And I say this with love and respect in my heart, guys. Some of you, it's a really lot later. Some people on here are long-winded, myself included, often. I release the PTT. The repeater says, hey, everybody, he's done talking. And you all then say, hallelujah. Well, what if this is multiple repeaters and an IP site connect? The exact same things happen, except I make my request, the repeater hears it, and then the repeater says, hey, go ahead. Maybe this in the middle is Horsetooth and this one here is Boulder. Horsetooth says, hey, Boulder, Doug wants to talk. I got a call. You carry it down there. This is on the IP site connect. My radio starts talking. The repeater and the two repeaters start going. They both start repeating. A whole lot later, we unkey. All of the repeaters release. And the call's complete and ready for somebody else. So let me just see where I am on my charts here.
Doug, I've got one comment / question.
Yes.
One thing that threw me with one of my radios here when I first tried to transmit on this thing is that the okay to start speaking there after you hit PTT comes up as red, which usually means stop, but on the radio it means you're good, go ahead.
Means you're transmitting.
It's the tone that you're listening more for.
Okay.
If you get the red light, you're okay to talk. If you get some angry sounding tone, don't talk because nobody will hear you.
Okay. So like in mine, I guess mine's a red light that's kind of hard to see. This is K2AD testing. Yeah, and I get a tone and K2AD is clear. And then I got a green light that says the repeater's transmitting to me. Mm-hmm. And this should go out soon. There we go. We have a hang time on the DMRs just like the analog repeater, even though we're not hearing anything. The radio is hearing the repeater. And some radios have advanced features that say, hey, go and find the strongest repeater and automatically move me over there such that as I start driving on my handheld up near Cheyenne, I'm going to go through the Cheyenne repeater. The radio says, oh, he's moved over to Buckhorn, moves me over there, moves me down to Horsetooth, maybe moves me to Boulder. I never had to change. So we have some stuff in there, but yes, what the radio says to you may differ based upon the technology of the radio and the manufacturer. So you've just got to figure that out. And, so does that kind of address what you were saying? Okay. Okay. I guess only two more, trying to leave some time for questions here. So just some closing thoughts for you. Airtime on a repeater it's a resource. They're expensive. We have limited sites. What's the biggest cost of a repeater these days? I'm going to say the site lease. That can be $200-$300 a month per transmitter, per repeater. Well, if I've got a DMR, I can put two conversations on one $300 a month lease. A repeater like the 115, that's $300 for one conversation, if that's the price you're paying. That's why James and the team worked so hard to get us a good lease on Horsetooth. A lot of people say that some of our DMR repeaters are too quiet. I'm not sure that's bad. Not sure it's good. It's just, you know, we kind of value having some repeaters that are there and available for Aries and Oxcom as a primary function, and there's high availability. We have other repeaters that have high conversation. Pick the one you like. You know, as I heard an old George Carlin, your radio has a knob that you can change the channel. If you don't like what you're hearing on one, change the channel. Vote with your feet or vote with your fingers. TDMA and DMR radios, it's a little bit of a sensitive protocol. A lot of the inexpensive radios are just that, inexpensive, and their performance is not so hot. Others, you get a lot of value for that money and they work really well. You've just got to experiment and ask people, what have you found that works really well? My biggest beef on some of these radios are a DMR radio has a microphone that goes into a codec. I didn't bother to get into codecs, but it's an AMBE plus two vocoder, voice encoder, that takes your analog signal and sends it digitally through the radio and then recreates it back to analog. It's somebody once made the analogy when I was a young engineer in mobile radio design. He says, you take a potato and that's your voice, and you take a Ginsu knife and you slice it up really, really thin slices, send those slices through the radio, and then you put them back together and you've got a potato. But there's a little bit of a gap where you sliced it. You lost a little bit of the potato, but it generally looks like a potato that you had. And that's kind of how the vocoder works. Well, some of these import radios, they haven't put as much engineering into making sure that the mic gain to the deviation that we had in analog is set properly, such that when you speak through the radio, the right volume comes out the other end. They use their radios that they've turned the volume up and it sounds fine, but then I go to another radio where I'm at normal volume and you're half as loud or you're way compressed. I know DDZ and Jim ETE have dealt with this with line audio. Am I compressing the hell out of the thing, or am I sitting down with the VU meter barely moving? That's a big issue on DMR. And it's just something that you're going to have to work with your radio and maybe figure out how to turn up or turn down your microphone gain so that you have the right levels through there. The other thing on some radios, their time slot management is not always, their time management is not always efficient. They're a little sloppy and they tend to jitter a little bit and they tend to get over slightly into the next time slot. With just a little piece, they just overhang a little bit. And the net of that is if we're using both time slots on the repeater actively at one time, you're out of the 30 milliseconds, you may be jamming your friend for 2 to 3 milliseconds. And we can probably tolerate that. We just see a little bit higher frame error rate, bit error rate. And maybe your audio is a little bubbly, or, you know, it sounds like you've been sipping on the champagne and you're a little tipsy, but, you know, just find a radio that's pretty good and you'll be okay. There are a couple of radios that are tier one out there that are very cheap, and people have shown up with them, programming them as a tier two radio, and they show up on our repeater network and we go, you can't use that on our repeater. And they're like, well, why not? I spent $20 on this Bofang on Amazon. The problem is that radio is putting your conversation in both time slots. And when you're accessing the repeater, you're using both time slots and you've essentially taken the network we've built and halved it. So you can't use those. Sorry, guys. You've probably wasted more money on bad sushi. So throw that radio away or use it on Simplex where you're the only ones. And I said, you know, DMR is fun and we have to have one COVID joke. Yes, it's social. It's being social with physical distancing. So we have been running a little long, but I tried to move quickly through this, but the meeting ran a little bit long, frankly. Any thoughts, questions, challenges that you've been facing that you want to do? Talk about. I heard somebody come off mute. Have I put you all to sleep? Okay. Well, oops. Let's see. Mark Sheets says, my DMR software has contact column. What is that? I'm not totally sure because I don't know what radio you're using, but my guess is contact can be in DMR radios is one of two things. Typically, it's mapping of the ID to a name, but it can also be the talk group number and the talk group that you're using, or a private call, which I didn't touch on. Maybe I should. So it really depends on the manufacturer. It also could be a combination of both. So you have to tell. So there's a thing called private calls. And the way those work is Eric made a noise and it brought him up on my screen so I can see him. I want to talk to Eric, but I certainly can't encrypt or cipher my signal so that no one can hear it. But I can kind of legally obscure it by, I'm going to send a message in. Okay, Mark, I see where you're doing. I want to send a message to Eric, and I just kind of want some security through obscurity. I can say that my contact or this group is really a call to N6RFI, and I would put his radio number in there, And when I key my radio, I'm still going to be on the channel. I'm going to be on the time slot. Anybody with a radio that it's actually called that has promiscuous mode, it allows you to go and listen to anything. It'll just tell you, hey, there's a transmission and this is what it is. Then Eric will hear it, you'll hear it, and other people that aren't in promiscuous mode won't hear it. But the bad part of that is, okay, that lets me set up a virtual private channel between me and Eric. But while we're doing that, no one else can use the repeater and the resource. And you're not going to necessarily know we're doing it. So we don't prohibit it, but we discourage it for major use. But if I need to just send Eric a little note that, hey, our repeater that we're working on up in Breckenridge is broken, can you look at it? And I don't want the whole world to know. I might do a very brief transmission or a text message, use that resource for a few seconds, and he gets it, I get it, and everybody doesn't worry about, is the repeater broken? You know, so that's that. I see here on the text, on the chat, Rocky Mountain Code Plug has Rocky or Central. So what that is that's saying, when you're receiving a call, am I listening for a talk group, a private call, or a different kind of call? That's basically telling it what kind of call you're receiving. So we have to tell in the code plug which talk group I'm transmitting on, and then which talk groups do I want to listen on. And this is where it gets a little more complicated, because there's a lot of things, but that's the simple answer. So let's see, code plug, can you do a presentation on PiStar hotspots? I don't have one, but Joe, why don't you put on the list of a request? There's a lot of interest in PiStar hotspots.
Look two comments down.
I'm sorry?
Look two comments down.
Okay. Darren says we'll put that on the presentation list and find somebody willing to talk. Greg asks, if there's a radio causing problems, such as taking up two time slots, can the system operator block or blacklist that radio? Not completely, because that radio, unlike a public safety radio where the agency has control over the programming, we do not. But what we can do is block that identifier in our bridge, our connection bridge, to say you can't go anywhere else, but we can lock it down to one local repeater, and then we can try to get a hold of that person and do it. Unfortunately, it's just kind of like a jammer in an analog radio. When they're controlling the programming, they can put anything they want in there, and there's only some limits to what we can do. But we can talk about them and say bad things behind their back. We can take their birthday away and make them wash the dishes in the local restaurant. Let's see, PiStar presentation, cool, gotta go get the presentation. We'll see you, Dennis. Mark says, okay, that parameter was missing, you required piece of DMR. Well, it was in there, but, and Doug says, can you unshare? You mean stop sharing the presentation? Yeah, I guess we could do that since we're not really going by slides. That's a good point. Where's my button to unshare? I've lost it.
Top of the screen, top center.
Yeah, but I'm not getting that anymore. Maybe it's because my window. Why am I not? Oh, there it moved over to my other screen, and it was a little square box. Okay, that's a good comment. Thank you for that. So I guess we were saying we missed that parameter. That's where this thing gets to be a little complicated, and I kind of implied. So let's just do a very brief folly until, and if people are, I guess Joe's running this meeting, but Joe, shall we essentially say the meeting's over, but if people wanna keep chatting, we can talk on here for a little bit. Is that valid for you? And I'm not hearing a no. I'm not hearing Darren saying. So.
That's okay. That's okay. I mean, we can keep it on. And by the way, the PyStar hotspot, I will handle that. I'm the one that handles that stuff. So. Yeah, if anybody Perfect. Wants to go, the meeting is basically over. I do apologize for running late on the business meeting, but I kind of felt we needed to talk about those two points. So I thank you very much.